Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Kropp.
All right, everybody, welcome. It is the day after Memorial Day, and yes, our phones are working today. That means you can call the Power Buick GMC talk line if you want to sound off on any of the topics we're talking about today, 503-589-1220. That's the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220, or you can just send me an email to jeff@1220.am. So there are three recall Kate Brown petitions that are out there, and what we're going to talk about today, it relates to them. But one of the arguments you can use, again, this is commonsensical, and I'm going to share with you a little story in a moment about I used this yesterday at the Alford Cemetery when I was talking with some friends as they were working on, in the morning, as they were working on their family gravesite on Memorial Day. It's an interesting article, or argument, rather. Here's what it is. Kate Still says churches aren't essential, but pot shops and liquor stores are. Now, again, you may think that that's a very simplified argument to make to someone to say, hey, this is a reason to recall this woman. What logic dictates that churches are not essential, but pot shops and liquor stores are? Today, speaking of churches, and we'll talk about this a lot more as we go forward, today is the Oregon Supreme Court's deadline for the Baker County judge in the religious freedom state lawsuit. The judge can do three things. We're going to talk about them. But there's an underlying issue, really, that is at play here. And it's sort of articulated in a story in the Epoch Times about California issuing guidelines for the reopening of their places of worship. Now, that's very similar to what Kate basically said the other day, except she didn't declare churches essential. And neither is California. There is an essential argument, since we're using that word, that is in play here. And it's another story about what, well, Attorney General Bill Barr said in that in the U.S. DOJ siding with a Virginia church, this is a story from earlier this month, that the Constitution is not suspended in times of crisis. We'll explore that a little bit more. And also the Oregon Catalyst today. You know, Professor Hinckley was right, folks. We've got a piece about where Oregon stands on new COVID-19 cases. What was Professor Hinckley right about? I'll tell you as we go through the show today. 503-589-1220 is the Power of Buick GMC talk line. Emails to jeff@1220.am. So the recall petitions are out there. If you want to sign the GOP's recall petition, by the way, all of these three petitions cannot be combined. They're all separate, different entities. And, you know, kudos to those people who have put forward their desire, other than the Republican Party. The one that is going to have the most opportunity, I believe, would be, unless one of the other petitions has a bunch of money behind it, is going to be the one from the Republican Party. And it is Stop the Abuse. Go to the Facebook page or just Google it up. Stop the Abuse, Recall Kate Brown. And you'll find it. They have the app. And if you're going to be one of those people out there gathering signatures, and I hope you do, if you're going to be one of those people, you need to get the app on your phone. That way, when you're talking to someone and they sign, you can quickly put their name in and see if they've already signed it. This is important because we get penalized. Anybody who, believe me, anybody who submits a petition and signatures to the state, you get big time penalized every time you have a duplicate signature. Now, that's why most organizations that are doing this kind of thing have figured out that they need, before they turn in those signatures, they literally need to make sure that duplicates are already crossed off. And you can do that. So I want to encourage it again. Go find the petitions, stop the abuse, recall Kate Brown. There's lots of reasons to do it. By the way, there's on Oregon Catalyst, a story, a register guard story from yesterday. Thousands in Oregon are desperate as they can't get the unemployment they're owed. Now, if you're going to be gathering signatures for a recall, or you're just trying to persuade the persuadable, you might point them to that headline. This is the fish wrap of the Willamette is what I call the Eugene Register Guard. We used to call it the Red Guard. Yeah, because they've had to moderate their communist viewpoints some, because you don't sell papers when you're only being a communist. Oh, you sell them to the communist, but that doesn't pay the bills. Point them to the headline. Thousands of Oregonians are desperate because they can't get the unemployment they are owed. Why? Because when you're an employee, your pay, a little bit of your pay goes into the unemployment system. You're owed it. You've been paying into it. And guess what? You can't get it. Why? Because of the incompetence of Kate Brown. That's why. Now, with that and the other argument that I started from the beginning, and it'll be on the show plan on Facebook, Kate still says churches aren't essential, but pot shops and liquor stores are. You couple that with this headline in the Eugene Red Guard? Yeah, it's pretty obvious. People get it at the most basic level. People are truly being hurt by Kate Brown's incompetence. And she's not fixing it, folks. The problem still persists. And Kate is still shutting up about it. Why? Because she knows the moment she opens her mouth, she's going to be held accountable. Now, she ought to be held accountable anyway, but she can't, because she can't allow herself to talk about it, is what I mean. Because what if she does? She opens her mouth at all. It's better to remain silent, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? It's better to remain silent and be thought of as a fool than to open your mouth and confirm it. Now, it also tells you that there's no leadership. Kate Brown, what did I tell you yesterday? My little suggestion yesterday, by the way, I'm surprised that none of you think that that's a good idea. If I were Kate Brown, you know what I would do? I would literally show some leadership, and I'd march on down to the Department of Unemployment, because that's what it is these days. I would march on down there with television cameras from all the major TV stations in tow and a whole bunch of reporters. And I would walk in there and I would sit down at a computer. I mean, you set all of this up ahead of time. That is, of course, after you fired the failed bureaucrat that you put in charge of this, Kate, Kay Erickson, who also refuses to say anything. You march in there, you sit down in front of a computer, and you start answering the phone. It's not that hard. But it is if you're Kate Brown, because you are not a person who is capable of grasping, finding real solutions. Now, why do I say that way? Well, you have to divide that, her inability to find solutions, from her desire to destroy Oregon businesses just to the point that they cannot give money to Republicans in the next campaigns for this fall so that Democrats can retain power and, in fact, maybe even increase their power. Because you remember, she has not yet cut any budgets. There are no state employees other than a few that are voluntarily being furloughed by some agencies as we get, you know, as they see the handwriting on the wall here. She is not cutting any employees, and those employees are mostly unionized, and they're mostly paying money still at your tax dollars going into the union's pockets, which goes right back to the Democrat candidates. So there's a fine line between Kate wanting to hurt business to the point that they can't be effective against her this fall. There's a fine line between that and her inability to grasp real solutions, because her mind doesn't work that way. And by her inability to grasp real solutions, especially on this issue of the Oregon Unemployment Department not being able to deal with desperate Oregonians whose lives really are being affected, her inability to do that is hurting her badly and the Democrats badly. And you know that's true. Just look at the news stories that have talked about all these other Democrat leaders demanding bold action. Wyden and Bowtie Earl Blumenauer writing the letter to the director of the unemployment department, basically giving Kate the reason to scapegoat her and fire her. Those people are worried because they know this is a game changer, folks. So it is a fine line between Kate's desire to hurt business so that she has the political advantage and going too far with her incompetence and not being able to see real solutions and having that backfire on her. That's what's going on. So also, friends, is if you've been out and about and you've been working in your backyard and you're trying to make things look better, and you are, but you got a lot of debris and you got to get rid of it. Maybe you're doing that remodeling project because you've been stuck at home with lockdown Kate Brown's orders. Well, you got to get rid of it somehow. So why don't you take it to Clayton Ward Recycling right off of the Salem Parkway and Main Line Drive, where they can take all of that stuff, concrete, wood, yard, debris, recycling stuff. Some of it you pay for, some of it you don't. But the best part is you just waltz right on in there. It's easy to unload. You don't wait, and you're gone. They're open Monday through Fridays, 7 to 5, and Saturdays, 7 to 3. Give them a call, 503-393-8700. That's Clayton Ward Recycling, 503-393-8700. 6:20 in the morning. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the judge's choices today. The judge in Baker County. Is he going to defy the state, the Supreme Court? And if so, how would he do that? Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
Stop the car. 22 minutes past the top of the hour. Great to have you with us today. Yes, the phones are working, and that's always a good thing because they didn't work yesterday. Not sure why, but it just happens sometimes. You can also send me an email if you want to sound off on any of the things we're talking about. You can send it to Jeff at 1220.am. My friends over at Ames Paint Company wanted me to share with you that they are hiring. Yeah, you know, some businesses actually are doing pretty well in this economic shutdown. And one of them is DIY companies. Ames Research, which is Ames Paint Company in Salem, longtime friends of mine, and I've used a lot of their products over the years. And I love them because they work. They manufacture premium paints and coatings, and their goal is that to make the best waterproof coatings in the entire world. And they are growing. They have an opening for a batch maker in their manufacturing plant in Salem, and they'll train the right person. Now, the job includes using equipment to mix or blend paints or chemicals according to certain specifications. Your duties in this kind of a career include working with weights and measures, measuring ingredients to the exact amounts needed in a particular chemical or a paint formulation, reformulating batch sizes, creating batch production tickets, and maintaining production logs and records. What are the skills you need? Math, attention to detail, and reading comprehension. You need to be able to lift about 70 pounds. You got to be safety-minded. And you know what? If you have a little forklift experience, that's a plus. And they give preference to U.S. veterans. They do background checks. They will drug and skills test you. They offer a very competitive wage and an excellent benefits package. They work Monday through Fridays. If you're interested, email a resume to admin@aimsresearch.com. That's admin@aimsresearch.com. Or call them at 503-588-7000. It's 503-588-7000. Ames Research. So when I was preparing to go to the break, I teased you with the Supreme Court ruling that said the judge in Baker County had to get back to them today. Had to tell them today why he did what he did. Well, he actually has three choices, okay? He has till 5 o'clock today to address the ruling. Now, Kevin Mannix, whom you know is one of the lead attorneys on our behalf, I say our, those of us who care about religious freedom and also business people, not just churches, but business people's also. He says that, well, you know, the court really kind of took the middle ground here. Now, I think he's being generous in that, but, you know, him being a longtime lawyer and litigator, I'll take him at his word. And I know Kevin well. We served together when I was in the House of Representatives. So the Supreme Court overturned his preliminary injunction. Now, remember, judges don't grant preliminary injunctions unless they think that the likelihood of the underlying lawsuit is going to be successful. This judge said it would. The Supreme Court said, no, you're wrong. And they issued to him what's called an alternative writ of mandamus. Don't ask me to explain that because it doesn't matter. It leaves the judge with three options, and here's what they are. He can vacate his own ruling. So in other words, he can say, well, I was wrong about the injunction. He could do that. Or he could explain his decision, or he could just do nothing. Now, I think this judge has other options. And I think one of them is this. It boils down to explaining his decision. And in doing so, he creates another option. What would it be? Well, it would be a First Amendment claim, religious freedom claim. Now, this is really what the U.S. DOJ did when the U.S. Department of Justice intervened in a Virginia church dispute earlier this month. Because one of the claims that they made, and this is because in that circumstance, a church sued the governor there, which had issued a very similar non-essential church lockdown order, is what Kate did here. It was the Lighthouse Fellowship Church. They ask for an injunction against the governor's order. Local department of or local court there denied that. Well, then they appealed in federal court. Now, the U.S. Department of Justice weighed in on their behalf, and they argued that the church had demonstrated a likelihood of success under its free exercise claims that Governor Ralph Northam, as Rush calls him, that his restrictions appeared to discriminate against religious groups and institutions. That, in part, is what Kevin Mannix is and Ray Hackey from the Pacific Justice Institute. That's in part what they're arguing in their lawsuit. Now, if they're successful in that, what would be the outcome? Well, it gives the judge the perfect reason for him to explain his decision, and it puts the Oregon Supreme Court in a box because now they're using a previously issued statement by the U.S. Department of Justice to bolster his decision that the underlying case of Kevin Mannix and Ray Hackey will be successful based on the First Amendment. Now the Supreme Court is in a box, aren't they? Think they would? Because it opens the door for a federal appeal court. Not the state. The Oregon Supreme Court, believe me, as liberal as they are, they don't want to be overturned. Back in a moment, 6:30.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes till the top of the hour. Great to have you with us on a Tuesday, the day after Memorial Day. I hope you had a, a blessed Memorial Day. A little bit bittersweet for me personally, and I'll share with you in a moment why that is. But here's what we're talking about today. Kate still says that churches aren't essential, but pot shops and liquor stores are. She gave guidance last week after, the president said, you know what? You either open up churches or we're going to override you. And frankly, he has the ability to do that. So does the U.S. Department of Justice, because that's what we're talking about today, is the Oregon Supreme Court's deadline of the Baker County judge on the religious freedom state lawsuit. I just posited to you one of my theories. I could be entirely wrong, folks, because I'm not a lawyer and I don't play one on the radio or TV for that matter. But I know a little bit about law, at least on the most basic level, having been a lawmaker for 8 years. I think the judge could use the same argument that I just shared with you that the U.S. Department of Justice made in a similar, a little bit different, but a similar lawsuit in Virginia earlier this month. Now, California has done the same thing. They've opened up churches and they released the same guidelines, but the inconsistency argument is the one on which I believe ultimately Oregon's lawsuit will be found to be successful. Because no matter what the judge says, the Oregon Supreme Court cannot stop the underlying lawsuit from going forward, folks. And those arguments start Thursday. Also, Professor Hinckley was right. You see, Oregon's, and I teased you with this in the first half of the show, but Oregon's COVID-19 cases were actually declining before Kate Brown locked us down. All you need to do is go to the Oregon Catalyst where the article is where Oregon stands on new cases. You can see it. You can see the actual data from the state of Oregon. And you can look at the timeline. And both cases and hospitalizations were declining. There was a little spike a few days after Kate locked us down. A lot of that had to do with testing. And then look at the next chart, which is all about testing. And you know what's stunning? I'll tell you what's stunning. The incredible numbers of tests and the very small amount of those who tested positive. And of those who tested positive, very few were hospitalized. Interesting to think about, isn't it? 503-589-1220. I mean, in the context of everything that's going on, yeah, it's very interesting. We're going to go to the phones in a momento. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. You know, I just saw a report on Fox a little while ago about a company that has a new UV light process that the New York subway is using to try to clean their subways with lights. And why are they doing that? Because it works. It kills bacteria. It's the same reason that you should think about talking to Freedom Heating and Air. Great Salem-based company, been around here a long time. Because they have UV light filtration systems they can put in your home to kill bacteria that's floating around in the air. You really ought to think about that. You also think about, they can also filter out all that pollen floating around out there. And there's lots of it. This is pollen season, big time, folks. Why don't you check them out? Check them out on the web, freedomheatingandair.net. Freedomheatingandair.net. Let's go to the phones and go to Art. Art, good morning. What say you this morning, friend?
Jeff, good morning. Happy belated Memorial Day. Yeah, it was a shame we couldn't call in yesterday.
Yeah, it was. Doggone it. By the way, speak up. You're pretty faint today.
Okay. Is that better?
That's better. Thank you.
Okay. Well, yeah, I missed calling in, Jeff. It's kind of a tradition, and it was a shame your phone wasn't working. But anyways, this whole thing with the churches, you know, Kate is allowing them to open up, but with less numbers than other things like restaurants. You know, restaurants are allowed to open now and do 50% of capacity, and I believe that the churches have a great case to say, hey, you got to allow us 50% capacity just like restaurants, et cetera, et cetera. So it'll be interesting how this all pans out, and you know, I believe, you know, if this lawsuit had focused mainly just on the churches instead of opened up the possibility of ending everything, it wouldn't be where it's at right now. But hopefully, you know, Kate's going to be held accountable for discriminating against the churches and not allow them the 50% capacity, just like all other industry is now being allowed in the counties where phase one has been introduced.
Excellent point. And you've hit on the central point of the U.S. Department of Justice when they sided with the Virginia Church. Now, here's my prediction to you. Is that the High Court has said in their prior rulings, the U.S. Supreme Court, that when you are suspending constitutional rights, it has to be equally applied. You've just made the argument, as they did in their brief, that it is not being equally applied, and that is discrimination. Now, Art, let me ask you this question. Do you think that that point, that Kate Brown is discriminating against churches, is a good point that persuades the persuadables that maybe could be used in a recall petition.
Oh, absolutely, Jeff. I mean, it is obvious that there's been a double standard here with churches and, you know, restaurants and all the other stuff. And that is a violation of the law. There is no doubt about it. And Kate should be held accountable for not allowing, you know, this thing to be equally applied. She hasn't said that the churches can't open. She has just said, you're not like the big Catholic churches. Hey, you can't have more than 25 people, even though your capacity is 1,000. That's pure discrimination, and Kate has to be held accountable for that. I think the reason why this kind of blew up is because there, if it had gone forward the way it was, everything was going to be able to open up, Jeff. And I think that's why, you know, they fought this thing so hard. So,
good point.
Yeah,
Art, thanks for calling in, brother. Good to hear your voice. And, you know, you made an excellent point. The accountability opportunity, friends, is just this. You could sign a recall petition. Now, I'm quite serious. Kate Brown has, you know, when the first recall was in place, it had to do with cap and trade, and it had to do with, you know, everything else that she was pushing in her radical, far left, regressive, totalitarian Marxist agenda. This is different. These are about basic freedoms and fairness. Remember, the Democrat Party loves to hold itself up as the party of fairness, right? Equality. Well, how is this equal? You can allow, I mean, Art brought up a great point. You can allow 50% capacities in your restaurants, but not your churches? What? Pot shops are essential. Liquor stores are essential, but churches aren't. These are arguments you can use, friends, in persuading the persuadables to think about this stuff. The discriminatory art, I mean, truly, let me read from you in the last couple of minutes before we go to break here. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. And by the way, Pro-Bioscience is where you should go to buy CBD, because that's where I buy my CBD from. Now, later this week on Friday, they're going to have a little pop-up opportunity for you to stop by and see them in Salem. I'm going to tell you where, and I'm probably going to show up there. It'd be a great opportunity to meet some of you, number one, and number two, great opportunity for you to buy some very high-quality CBD products, grown and manufactured and processed right here in Salem. Pro-bioscience.com. And if you go online and you order, put in the discount code MOM, M-O-M, MOM, and you get 15% off. Pro-bioscience.com. So the US DOJ, and this really gets to the heart of the argument here, I think that the judge should cite in his response to the Oregon Supreme Court today. There are good reasons, I'm quoting from the US DOJ intervention on behalf of the Virginia Church. There are good reasons to discourage gatherings of more than 10 people and to encourage people to stay home whenever possible. But the free exercise clause generally mandates that restrictions on gatherings be applied equally. There's even more. Equally. That is for Kate Brown's lockdown program. So badly flawed.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour, 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. So let me read a little bit further here, because this, I think, is, again, it adds to your ability to articulate this argument to other people, persuading the persuadables. You see, the discriminatory argument has a lot of facets to it. I mean, you can come up with all kinds of examples. It's unnecessary. Because the reality is this. You have to equally apply justice. Justice is blind, right? Unless, of course, you know, you're the deep state and Hillary Clinton and James Comey and John Brennan. And you know, there's two systems of justice. If you're connected and wealthy, and for the rest of us. The reality is this. In Oregon, Kate Brown has put in place these lockdown dictates. And the problem is they're generally unconstitutional. Because regardless of what she says, they're not based on science. There is no science that says you have to, like Art pointed out, you have to take a big Catholic church and only limit it to 10 people. Or even 25 people. Remember, Kate at first said, well, we're going to prohibit gatherings of 250 people. And what was that based on? It wasn't based on science. It was based on a guess. And then it was 50. And then it was 10. Now it's back up to 25. But yet restaurants can open at 50% capacity. Tom writes me an email and says this. Why would Queen Kate allow a church to open? They aren't exactly padding her purse with tax money. Yeah, you're right, Tom. However, pot shops and liquor stores are providing tax money. But churches are nonprofits. The state of Oregon doesn't get any tax revenue from it, does it? Isn't that a very calloused thing to think? Not with Kate Brown's mentality about how to impose her will on you. So further from the U.S. DOJ's brief in support of the church in Virginia and why I think it applies in Oregon. Let me read a little bit more of this to you. By exempting other activities, they write, permitting similar opportunities for in-person gatherings of more than 10 individuals, while at the same time prohibiting churches from gathering in groups of more than 10, even with social distancing and other precautions, has impermissibly interfered with the church's free exercise of religion. So in other words, what they're saying here, by allowing what Art talked about, restaurants, to go ahead and do their thing. You know, 50%. You can reopen. You got to have this and that, and you got to be at 50% capacity. By saying that that's okay, but saying churches can't do the same, interferes with the church's free exercise of religion. Now, what would government lawyers say in response to that? Well, I'll tell you. And it's just what they argued here in Oregon. But Linda sends me an email. She says, could churches being tax exempt have anything to do with not opening up? Yeah, it has everything to do with not opening up. In part, it also has to do with Kate Brown's ideology, folks. I mean, this is. I mean, I mean this sincerely, I pray for Kate Brown every day, and I think you should too. She needs to wake up. She needs to understand there's something different than her Marxist, radical, leftist philosophy. That's who she is. It's what she believes, folks. She's a radical leftist. She's a Marxist. Marxism hates Christianity. Because if you look at the origins of thought behind Marxism, it is anything but what Christ stood for, what we believe is right as Christians. Frankly, even if you're not a Christian, it is everything that is against what our founders gave us in terms of these founding documents. Our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, our Bill of Rights. Marxism is just the opposite of all of it. That's what Kate Brown believes in. So the other part of your, you know, answering to your questions, Linda, yeah, I think taxes has something to do with it. I think the bigger reason is that Kate Brown does not like Christianity. And she doesn't like churches. People on the left do not. In fact, they mock us. And they make fun of us. So to give you a little heads up, folks, we are planning another Christian all-church worship service at the state capitol on Sunday evening, not a morning, but a Sunday evening. And we're looking at the 14th of June. Just a little heads up. So what did the government lawyers argue in Virginia? That's the same as what they argued here. Well, that the church and the Department of Justice misconstrued the nature of the state's gathering ban, gathering that the governor would provide an explanation, just like Kate did. Well, it's all based on science, and it's based on public health experts telling us why we had to limit it to this and that. And the next thing, those are the same arguments they made here in Oregon. Well, I'm sorry. Saying that you're banning singing or communion at a church is an infringement on your constitutional right. You can say it works all day long. You can say that banning churches, you can say that limiting to 10 or 25 people works all day long. That does not trump your constitutional rights. That's why I think ultimately the lawsuit in Oregon will be successful, because that's what the Oregon government lawyers argued, and they're wrong. But somebody who's right is a guy who puts the name Righteous in the name of his business. That's Eric Azer. Righteous Renovations. You can check them out on the web, righteousrenovations.com. Here's a guy who really tries very hard to live his faith, his way of life in his work, in being a great contractor that listens to you and provides you good work. And check it out on his website, righteousrenovations.com. righteousrenovations.com. So, friends, I hope you've enjoyed the show today. We'll be back tomorrow. I hope that you will be also. There's no doubt we'll have some idea what the Baker County judge is going to say today by tomorrow. Make it a great day, folks. See you then. Stacey Ann's up next with Good Morning Salem.